We are in this series called How to Grow into Spiritual Maturity. And the reason for that is we began our church season and we were so convinced and convicted by the Holy Spirit that the Lord would have us focus on this one overarching commandment throughout the whole year, which is this: love God, love others. That's it. The whole Bible can be summed up in those two commandments. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbors as yourselves. And that's why we just finished a couple months ago a series called Bless, B-L-E-S-S. Now Christ has risen from the dead. He empowers us by giving us the Holy Spirit to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we are able now to love our neighbors as ourselves. So we said, let's do that, and we call it BLESS, B-L-E-S-S. So here is the acronym, what it stands for. B stands for, say it for me. L stands for. E stands for. S, the second S. That's it. When Christ gives you the Holy Spirit, you love God as we should, as we want to, and out of that love for the Lord Jesus and for our Father in heaven, we get to love our neighbors as ourselves, and this is how we do it. Now, simple formulation, and I'm going to invite one of my good friends from my house church, Jason, but before he comes up, did you know he and his lovely wife, Lydia, they played hooky last Sunday? You know, you don't know this, but from my POV, standing from your point of view, I scan the room, and I know who's here. I also know who is not here. Even those of you joining via live stream, I scan you too. And I know who's there, and I know who isn't. Don't ask me how I know that. You know why? You know, I was wondering, okay, so where's Jason? Where's Lydia? Is everything okay? Are they being lazy? And that's because when you grow into spiritual maturity, gathering together with God's people every Sunday with His people, and we worship the Lord, not alone, but together, collectively, communally, faith is always, 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 always personal, but never, never, never private. Faith in Christ is to be public. Public, all right? Where's Jason at? Where's Lydia? Did they have a fight? Are they playing hooky? So all these questions. You want to find out where they were? Yeah? Jason, come on up here. And make your good confession. By the way, I've asked him to share with us where he was last Sunday, and I made him three promises. Tell them. Should I tell them?
Yes.
I said, no. First promise, Jason, if you tell your story, God will be glorified. Second promise, if you tell your story, everyone here at Mosaic House Church and all the guests and everyone who hears your story, they will be edified. And the third promise is, if you tell your story, your faith will be fortified. Let's have it.
So last Sunday, me and Lydia were driving to Princess Auto before church to pick something up, and
You were shopping on Sunday?
Yes.
skipping church? Okay, never mind. Okay.
And we passed 99th Street and 34th Ave, and there was a lady with a sign there on the intersection that said, "Anything helps. God bless." So I felt the Holy Spirit nudge me, and we went into the store, got our thing, and I said to Lydia, "How about we go and bless that lady today?" So she said yes, and we decided to do that. We went over to the park that's Tim Hortons there, and we invited her over, and she came in and, you know, asked her name and what she was up to, and got her a coffee and a gift card, and we just sat and listened to her, and it was really easy to do. The Holy Spirit was guiding us, and it wasn't about us. We didn't have to do much. We just had to be the vessel for the Holy Spirit to do His work, and we could bless her, hear about her story, We told her that we were skipping church to do this and that we were helping serve our city. And yeah. That's
it. Thank you for sharing. Question. I think I heard him say, we are skipping church to have coffee with you. Is that what I heard? Is he correct? He was the church. Lydia was the church. They were being the church to the lady. Agreed? So I disagree with you that you were not skipping church, so to speak. Okay. As you sat there across the table with this woman, what did you find out about her? Did she say anything about her journey that kind of stood out for you?
Yeah, she's having a rough time in life and has some challenges and needs people to be there for her, to love her, and to provide for her. And we can do that. Me and Lydia are very blessed, and so we can focus on other people and also spread the good news, right? I just wanted to say that we're skipping church just to kind of help break into a Christian conversation.
Okay. As after the coffee, after the exchanging of stories, her story, your story, did you have any sense as to how she felt walking away?
Yeah, she just felt loved and blessed.
She felt loved and blessed, and it was evident.
Yes.
Last question. How did you and Lydia feel as you were walking away from her?
We're just encouraged to follow the Holy Spirit's nudges and do our best to serve others around us. Mm. And I'm thankful for this church and our house church that encourages us and helps us to grow into spiritual maturity.
Those three promises that I made, did I deliver?
Yes.
You delivered. Thank you. One thing about testimonies, my friends, that's why we do it. It's not about us, right? Okay? You know, Jason said, I don't really feel comfortable standing in front of people, and you know, I don't want to sound like I'm blowing my own horn. I said, Jason, it's not about you or me. And he said, that's right. It's about the Lord Jesus. It's about the people who will be edified by the testimonies. And I was right. His faith was fortified. Let this be a culture in your life. That is to say, keep telling your testimonies. Small, big, doesn't matter. Because it's not about you, right? Small, big, doesn't matter. So as I start the message, which is a continuation of the testimony, it's about spiritual growth. His faith grew as a result of engaging in that act of service, meet her need, as simple as buying her a cup of coffee. Okay? Today, your faith is going to grow as you apply and live out what the Bible, the Holy Scripture, is all about. Please utilize the sermon outline by using the QR code in front of you. And those of you joining via live stream, you know how hard it takes more to pay attention when you are joining via live stream. How do I know? I've been there, right? So utilize the sermon outline. And at the same time, towards the end of, after the sermon, I should say, you get to send in questions for clarification. So the phone number is up on the screen. So again, today we are focusing on this. How do I grow into my spiritual maturity? And the answer is, it starts with a strong foundation. That's the Holy Scripture. So let's go to the Scripture. Hear the word of the Lord coming to us from 1 Peter chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 23. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring Word of God. Again, God's Word, the Holy Scripture, strong foundation. All people are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. So therefore, last reading, second chapter, verse 2. In fact, would you join me in reading this? This is the application part of the message. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. Holy Spirit, we need you. I need you. In order for me to be your channel, your instrument, your vehicle, your mouthpiece for the living word of God, which endures forever, the strong foundation for our spiritual maturity, would you grace us by your presence, by your power? Help us to see the risen Christ in all of the scriptures. In his name we pray. Amen. The theme and the goal of this message is as follows. Please write these words. The risen Christ grows you up in your salvation through Scripture. It starts with Christ. He is risen. He came down from heaven, took on flesh just like you and me. And for my sin, for your sin, he died on the cross. He was buried, he descended to hell, and he suffered what I deserve, hell itself. He suffered hell, and then he rose again. In his resurrection, he does what? As he ascended to heaven and seated at the right hand of God, whence he rules and reigns, he is growing you and me in salvation. And I come back to that. Salvation is not just an event. It's a journey. Salvation is not just something that happened in your life, but it is a continuously growing. You grow in salvation through Scripture. Through Scripture. There are 3 points. First point. Therefore, let's start with this, the most important. Your spiritual maturity is born out of what? Grace. Your growing up in your salvation is born out of grace. Look at verse 3 to 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why praise him? Because of his act. And what is his act? In his great mercy, he has given us, let's say it together, he has given us what? New birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So this new birth through the resurrection, all these are acts of God's unending great mercy and grace. And listen, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And not only are you born again, in this new life, you have given an inheritance which will, nothing will take this inheritance away from you. It's and this inheritance is being kept in heaven for you. For you, and what's happening to you? You are being shielded by God's power unto the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last days. In verse 23, he says, not only you have received a new birth, and therefore you are, in verse 23, for you have been born again. I heard someone say this. You could decide to become a Buddhist. You decide. You can decide to become a Muslim. You can also decide to become a humanist, secularist. One thing you cannot decide to do is to be a follower, true follower of Christ. Why not? Because it doesn't start with your decision. What does it start with? New birth. Being born again. How many of you, before you were born, you decided that you were going to be born? No one. That's the point. Your spiritual maturity does not start with your decision or your willpower. It starts with, it's born out of grace. The Holy God, He thought of you from eternity. He foreknew you. It's not foreknowledge. It's like the Lord saying, I wonder, you know what? Let me look into the future and let me find out if Victor Koh will be born in 1967. Oh, I just gave away my age. Oh, therefore, God foreknew that I was going to be. No! When the Bible says, I foreknew you before you were knitted together in your mother's womb, what that means is it's God's foreknowledge that gave you life. The reason you are here, the reason you live and breathe is because God thought of you. It's not foreknowledge. He ordained it. That's what the word means. For God foreknew. He ordained. He declared that you be born. Not only that, to be a true follower of Christ, you are born again. Everyone is in flesh, but not everyone is born again. Everyone is made in the image of God, but not everyone is a child of God. In order for you to be a child of God, you have to be born again. And it starts, therefore, your spiritual development and maturity does not start with your decision, but with you being born again. It's an act of grace. Do you get it? If you don't, you can submit your questions for later. It happens with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then, what's this inheritance? Something you receive, right? You inherit something. Is it because you have worked for it? No, no. When I die, my son's going to inherit everything I own. Not my daughter. Because my son is here. And my daughter ain't. How do you inherit something? Do you work for it? It's not inheritance, is it? It's your wage. If you worked for it, you deserve it. If you worked for it, you expect it. If you worked for something, then someone owes you to pay you. Inheritance is a gift, is it not? You simply receive something. In this case, somebody far holier, greater, who has become your Father in heaven. He gives you something. And this inheritance is being kept for you in heaven above. You can't lose it right there. Your salvation, this inheritance, becoming like Christ, you cannot lose it. It's guaranteed by the Lord Christ himself. Oh, how assuring is that for you to hear from the Holy Spirit what Christ gives you, the new birth, being born again, this inheritance. Nothing will take this away from you. It's being kept, and you are being shielded right now, shielded, protected, guarded by the power of God himself today. Hallelujah. I could end my sermon right here. You're spiritual mature. Who said that? I don't know how to take it. It can go both ways, right? Yes, sermon's done. Or, praise the Lord, yes, this is an amazing truth. I'm going to assume it's the latter. Number 2 point. Therefore, your spiritual, the risen Christ, grows you up in your salvation through Scripture. So therefore, let's go to number 2, okay? Your spiritual maturity grows on the foundation of Scripture. Something solid, something strong, something eternal, that foundation, which is the Scripture, that's where your spiritual maturity grows. Does it make sense to you that you grow in your salvation? Has anyone besides me wondered, what does that mean, grow in salvation? Isn't salvation an event? It happened once, and once it happened, there's a period. What does it mean that you grow in your salvation? Okay. Would you repeat after me? Very, very important theological doctrines. Say justification. Say sanctification. Say glorification. 3 important doctrines. You got to know it. Justification. It's a terminology used in the court of law. You are justified. Suppose I have committed a crime and I am caught. And I am guilty, and I stand in the court of law, and the judge hits the gravel, and he says, you are guilty, and you are sentenced for 20 years in prison. Somehow, the judge says, I am going to justify you. I'm going to divert your penalty, and I'm going to pay that in your place, Victor. So therefore, you are justified. I am guilty, but I am justified because someone else paid the price. And that's what Christ has done. I am guilty of my sin. I rebel against God. And I deserve condemnation, alienation, and judgment. But instead, Christ took my place, and he suffered the consequences. So Christ justifies me. Am I guilty? Say yes. I am justified, declared not innocent, declared free to go because someone else paid the price. That's justification. You are saved. Your salvation starts here. Justification. What's the second word? Sanctification. It means from justification for the rest of your life, every moment of your life, with every breath in your lung, you are becoming like Christ. You are being sanctified. You are becoming like Christ in your thoughts, in your values, in your decision-making process, in your ultimate goal in your life. You are becoming like Christ. That's called sanctification. And that journey continues until, what's the third word? Glorification. Say glorification. That's when you meet Christ face to face. Finally. And I can't wait for one. I can't wait until that day happens. Then I will be just like Christ. And that's the inheritance being kept for me in heaven. Nothing, no one can take that away. I will be like Jesus. in glorification. What's the first word? Second word? Third? That's it. So that's how you grow. You don't stay in justification. You grow in your salvation and the sanctification process. So the Bible says, be sanctified. Imperative. It's a command. The Holy Spirit is commanding you, be sanctified. Got it? But what's the mood of the verb, be sanctified? It's passive tense, meaning someone is doing the act of sanctifying me. I am receiving the action. I am being sanctified. At the same time, it's a commandment, imperative. I am responsible. So, question to you. Is the sanctification process work of the Holy Spirit, or is it my responsibility? Is it 50% Victor Coe submitting, trying, disciplining himself, and 50% the work of the Holy Spirit? It's 100% Holy Spirit. It's 100% Victor Coe. That's sanctification. I am being sanctified. The Holy Spirit is sanctifying me, changing me, transforming me, 100%. At the same time, I have to do it. It's imperative. It's a command. Be sanctified. And that's what we call the spiritual maturity. Do you follow? Yeah. Look at verse 23. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, meaning seed that can be destroyed, yeah? But you are born again of imperishable. Nothing can destroy this seed. And what is that? It's through the living and enduring Word of God, the Holy Scripture. And this is how you're being sanctified. Look at, all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. Scripture, Scripture, and it ends with Scripture. And this is the Word. This is the Word, the Scripture, that was preached to you. You cannot grow in your spiritual maturity without the foundation of the Holy Word of God, the Scripture. It's the first and foremost. Scripture is the foundation. So at Mosaic House Church, we have solidified this sanctification in six values, okay? In six values, so that you can remember this and we can all say it together and grow in our salvation, which is this. Could you put the six values of disciples of Jesus Christ? Scripture. That's a value we embrace and we live this out. Because when you do so, you get to know Jesus. And that verb, that know, is not just cognitive. It's experiential. You know Jesus, not know about Jesus, you know him personally. Second value is prayer. And that's next Sunday's topic. In prayer, it's not so much getting things from Jesus, it's getting Jesus in prayer. You meet Jesus, as Daniel said today. It's a conversation. Not so much asking for things, that does happen, but primarily, first and foremost, prayer is getting God. Receiving God. And third, generosity to show Jesus. And fourth, community to belong to Jesus. And that was last Sunday's topic. You grow in your spiritual maturity in the body of Christ communally. And the fifth is sent out. Christ is risen. He's not staying, remaining in the tomb. He is going. He's loose. He's going. And therefore, we go out with Jesus. And lastly, the value of movement, to multiply Jesus. You make disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. It's a movement. So, the risen Christ. What's the theme sentence? The risen Christ grows you up in salvation through Scripture. First, your spiritual maturity is born out of grace. Second point is, what's the second point? Your spiritual maturity grows on the foundation of Scripture. And the third, therefore, crave pure spiritual milk, for the Lord is good. Crave it. Long for it. Be hungry for it. Be thirsty for it. Look at chapter 2. Like newborn babies, crave. I appreciate that translation. Some Bible translations say yearn or long for, but I appreciate this physical experiential verb. Crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. To illustrate, how many of you like to drink milk? Raise your hand. Milk. Got milk? Okay. Well, I got four different kinds. Are you ready? So this is whole milk, 3.25%. How many of you prefer whole milk? Raise your hand. Okay, one. All right. Well, look at that. Per serving, 160 calories. Ooh. Per serving, there are 8 grams of protein. That's the only thing I care about, protein. So that's the whole milk. Got it? Okay. Where's the cup? Raise your hand if you are a fan of 2% milk. Raise your hand. Oh, lots of you. More than the whole milk. Well, I wonder what the difference is. Do you know? Can you tell the difference in color? No, not really. Okay. 2%. How many calories? Any guesses? 160? 130. Less calories. Duh. And how much protein here? How much was this? 8? 9 grams. How do you figure? 8, 9, because all I care about is protein. Now, how many of you prefer oat milk? Oh, just as many. Oh. We got healthy people up in the loft. Holier than thou people up there. Okay. There we go. Oh, you see the difference in color? Yeah, okay. All right. How many calories? 130. I assume less. How much protein here? 4 grams. Now, lastly. I'm just gonna put it right there. Let's call it breast milk. That's gold. That's gold. Now, I've done some of my research. 250 milligram of breast milk. Guess how many calories? I was surprised. 160. Yeah. And how much protein? 4. 4 grams. Now, cheers. That's refreshing. Whole milk. full of flavor, richness. This is 2%. It's about the same. Oat milk, you ready? Yeah? Pardon me. No. Shame on you. I got to return that breast milk, by the way. Now, all this attempt to show you this. Crave pure spiritual milk like newborn babies. What do babies do when they are born? They cry. They cry. And what are they asking for? One of three things, right? Okay? Feed me, change my diaper, or put me to sleep. When a newborn baby cries because he is hungry, thirsty, nothing will satisfy the baby except for mom's milk. You follow? Okay? And that's what the Holy Spirit is saying to you and me. Be like newborn babies. This is very positive. Be like newborn babies. How so? Crave. Hunger for. Be thirsty for the pure spiritual milk. And that's the Bible. That's the Bible. For now, no one is surprised. So, yeah, ho-hum. I know I'm supposed to read the Bible. I know I'm supposed to grow in my faith through the Bible. Yeah. But when we asked the question early on this morning, how do you feel when you read the Bible? How many people heard, well, it's kind of intimidating. Well, it's kind of confusing. And it's kind of boring. It really puts me to sleep. Okay? Or, I want to crave for it. I want to be thirsty for the Bible. But I'm not desiring it. I know I should. So when I do desire it, it's all about the willpower, discipline. Okay? Now, look at this. Look at verse 3 again. Verse 3, in chapter 2. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is, say it. Okay. That's the question. Why don't we crave the scripture? Because it doesn't taste good. It's all about your willpower and discipline. So I want to spend just a couple more minutes to show you how indeed the Bible tastes good. It's good. It's delicious. It's satisfying. It's cool. You want this. I want this. But here's how you get to that good tasting part. Most of us, including me, certainly in the past, when we come to the Bible, okay, it's all about do's and don'ts. Some of you feel that way. I used to feel that way. And I also recognized, and I felt I fail miserably. When the Bible says do it, I fail to do it. When the Bible says don't do it, then I do it. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Can you relate to me? Okay. So it was not taste, it didn't taste good. I just felt worse about myself. And hence, it took discipline and willpower to go to the scripture. But not anymore. Something has changed in me. And the change in my disposition, in my experience, is this. The Bible tastes good. So good. So good. Here's how. The Bible is not about me. It's not about you or what we must do. Do this, don't do that. It is that, but not primarily. It is that, but not essentially. It is that, but not centrally. At the core, what the Bible is, it's about Jesus. Christ says, I have come not to abolish the Bible, but to fulfill it. Christ says, all the scriptures testify about me. All the prophets testify about me. Moses wrote about me. David wrote about me. The whole Bible is about me, as in who Christ is, what he has done, and therefore how we may receive his grace. No other than Tim Keller. Tim Keller has done this better than anyone else I know. He calls it, well, he's dead now. He called it Jesus the True and Better. You ready? Okay, listen. Jesus is the true and better Adam who passed the test in the garden and whose obedience is imputed to us. Christ is the fulfiller of Adam. Jesus is the true and better Abel who, though innocently slain, has blood now that cries out, not for our condemnation, but for acquittal. Jesus is the true and better Abraham who answered the call of God to leave all the comfortable and familiar and to go out into the void, not knowing whether he went to create a new people of God. Jesus is the true and better Isaac who was not just offered up by his father on the mount, but was truly sacrificed for us. And when God said to Abraham, now I know you love me because you did not withhold your son, your only son whom you love for me. Now we can look at God taking his son up on the mountain and sacrificing him and say, now we know that you love us because you did not withhold your son, your only son whom you love, whom you love from us. Jesus is the true and better Jacob who wrestled and took the blow of justice who we deserved. So we, like Jacob, only receive the wounds of grace to wake us up and discipline us. Jesus is the true and better Joseph, who at the right hand of the king forgives those who betrayed and sold him and uses his new power to save them. Jesus is the true and better Moses, who stands in the gap between the people and the Lord, who mediates a new covenant. Jesus is the true and better Job, the truly innocent sufferer, who then intercedes for and saves his stupid friends. Jesus is the true and better David, whose victory becomes his people's victory, though they never lifted a stone to accomplish it themselves. Jesus is the true and better Esther, who didn't just risk leaving an earthly palace, but lost the ultimate and heavenly one, who didn't just risk his life, but gave his life to save his people. Jesus is the true and better Jonah who was cast out into the storm so that we could be brought in. Jesus is the real rock of Moses, the real Passover lamb, innocent, perfect, helpless, slain, so the angel of death will pass over us. He's the true temple, the true prophet, the true priest, the true king, the true sacrifice, the true lamb, the true light, the true bread. The Bible isn't really about you. It's about Jesus. And therefore, when I came to this conviction, this truth, the whole thing changed. Now I come to the scripture because it tastes good. First and foremost, it brings me to Christ. And it deepens my faith, my love for him. Is it a book? Yes. But it's more like a love letter that Christ sent to me. The more I read it, the more his love becomes real. And the more I meditate on it, my love for him grows. So therefore, this is how you grow. Crave pure spiritual milk. Let's conclude, okay, with three applications. Your next step. Number one, how will you drink the milk? Often. Consistently, faithfully, but through the lens of it's about Jesus first. And then only then you can come to your application as to what you need to do in response to his grace. Second application. Will you drink the milk at a house church? As in, with other people who are thirsting and who are hungry for this spiritual maturity. I learned so much from my own house church. I'm just one of the participants. But every time, every week, when we gather together, their sharing of the Holy Scripture, and together collectively, we grow each week, every week. Will you drink, thirdly, the milk with another person? You know, many of us find reading the scripture really intimidating. It's hard to understand. It's confusing. It takes discipline. What if you say to someone else, hey, would you do this with me? That would be a tremendous encouragement, support, and also accountability. Would you are a bit more mature than I am, would you do this with me? Would you please? And for those of you who could say, I'll be willing to read the Bible, I'll be willing to drink the milk together with another person. So let's call that just, you know, with one another. Melissa is up on the loft. Wave. Melissa is called by the Lord Christ himself at Mosaic House Church to help all of us, to grow in our faith through Scripture. So whether you want to check out, test drive a house church, whether you are looking for, can you, Melissa, find me someone with whom I can drink the milk together, connect with Melissa. You can find her contact info on our website. You can certainly talk to her today. Risen Christ grows you in salvation through Scripture. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our God and Lord, it starts with your grace. Help us to remember that. It starts with your grace. Even the sanctification process, the journey, growing up in salvation, that is the work of the Holy Spirit, your grace. So we join you. Encourage us. Inspire and motivate us. Help us to taste that you are good and your Holy Scripture is good because of Christ. May you receive all the glory now. Amen.